So we're going to talk today about strength. We're going to talk about strength. I talked about power last week. This week we're talking about strength. And let me give you an example just to help you to figure out some differences. Let's say you're driving a Lamborghini. Who wants to drive a Lamborghini here? Okay, all right. So have you ever seen a Lamborghini competing with a truck? In terms of speed, who do you think wins? Maybe the Lamborghini. Depends on the driver, of course. But the Lamborghini has a lot of horsepower, a lot of power. But if you try to pull a trailer, like a camping trailer, usually you don't see Lamborghinis pulling a trailer because they have power, but they don't have strength. So there's some differences between power and strength. You know, God promises to give us power, but he expects us to be strong. So if we receive power, we're supposed to get strong. But again, if sometimes you need to pull some burdens, in order to pull those burdens, sometimes you don't need power, you need strength. I'm not going to elaborate much on this because during the week, I have a series of 5 devotionals on strength that start tomorrow. Those are 10 to 15 minute devotionals, and I'm going to cover a few things that I'm teaching today, and I'm going to be very quick because I have quite a few number of Bible verses. Let's see if I can get to them all. Otherwise, you can catch me up at 9 p.m. every day. So first, let me tell you about the inverted way of strength. What is the inverted way of strength? Well, the religious people at the time of Jesus, they could not accept the cross because the cross was a sign of defeat. It was a sign of weakness. Myself, when I started learning about Jesus and Christianity, I found the cross as a sign of death, of weakness. And so it was very hard to me associate the cross with victory, because I was raised Roman Catholic, and usually people will contemplate at the cross, at the crucifix, and they will cry and get emotional and stare at the death of Jesus. The good news that I learned when I became a real Christian, not a Christian by inheritance, not a Christian by receiving a religion, but when I had an encounter with Jesus, I found that he didn't stay at the cross. And so most evangelical churches that you'll visit, you will not see Jesus hanging on a cross. You may see a cross in wood, but Jesus is not there. Why? Because we do not look at the cross as a sign of defeat, but as a sign of victory. But here in this passage that we're going to read, that our main scripture for this morning, we see that the reason why Paul is teaching what we're going to read, it's because people were criticizing Christians and saying, oh, you have a dead Messiah. You have a dead God. And he said, no, you're wrong. We don't have a dead Christ. He didn't stay at the cross. He resurrected. And so about the message of the cross in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29, he says, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Notice the second sentence. He chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And we're talking about strength. So this is the upside down strength, the upside down approach to strength in the Bible. Why upside down? Because it's in reverse. God chose the weak in order to confuse or defeat the strong. And so we live in the world when usually biggest, best, brightest will succeed. And if something is weak, it's trampled. And even some societies and ours may have an inclination towards that. They try to eliminate defects. And so people that have handicaps are usually outcast in terms of society. And we had different political movements that even try to eliminate at birth people that are supposed to be born with physical or mental defects. So it's common today that during pregnancy, doctors, if they detect there is some type of handicap, they will tell the mother, abort. Why? Because defects and weaknesses, handicaps, are not appreciated in the world, in our world. And so with the Christianity, people will not understand that the cross, it's not a symbol of death, but in fact, it's a symbol of victory. And it's a symbol of strength. Let me mention a few people from the Bible that have this reversed like approach from God, like David. David was a teenager when he first appears in the Bible. And this teenager defeats the giant Goliath with a slingshot. So against all odds, if this was on those sports bets, it will be like 100-1. You know, David will not defeat Goliath. And so if you had to do a bet, all odds are with Goliath. But God uses the things that are weakest in order to defeat the strong. Moses, he was also a shepherd, a simple shepherd when God called him. We know he was educated in Egypt, but he was pastoring sheep in southern Arabia. And God says, no, return to Egypt and take my people to the promised land. He was 80 years old. He was weak. He stuttered. He didn't know how to speak. And God uses Moses to write the first five books of the Bible and to bring the exodus of God's people from Egypt into the promised land. Let me mention Mary, because we were mentioning the Old Testament. Mary was a fragile girl that submitted to an unwanted pregnancy. She didn't want to be pregnant, but God says, now you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And God didn't force himself, but he announced what was about to happen, because Mary was the type of woman that said, God, do whatever you want to do in me. There's a danger when you say this. I'm not saying you're going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. But if you open yourself to God, that's what happens. And from that fragile baby, God saved the world. Let me mention a disciple of Jesus, Peter. He was a rough man, uneducated, a fisherman, working with nets. And he becomes the first disciple. And he becomes a fisher of men. And he leads the church. And the church starts with Peter. 3.5 years later, God starts a movement that lasts for 2,000 years and is going to last until Jesus returns. Again, God chooses people that are not likely to be chosen. If it was me, I would have chosen like a smart guy in the synagogue, someone that will be well-spoken, very educated. I will choose someone handsome. I will choose someone that will attract people. But God chooses just a few fishermen, and this is the inverted way of strength. I wanted to mention this because maybe you feel that you're not strong enough. You feel that you're not strong enough to face the challenges of your life. You feel you're not strong enough maybe to face a call of God in your life. And God wants to bring strength into your life. And doing so, he wants to do it in what I call today the inverted way of strength. All right, so let's remember the verse we read. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, God shows the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God shows the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So if you were chosen by God, how many of you here think you've been chosen by God? Some maybe you think, no, God didn't choose. Yeah, God chose you. So let me tell you, you're either weak or foolish. So now you can be offended with Tony. And Tony says, it's in the Bible. So you today I'm calling you either weak or foolish, because it's those that God chooses. You see, God chooses the weak and the outcast. He chooses those that are unlikely to be chosen. Like, I know God chose me because I could in no way be a pastor, and I've been starting churches for more than 30 years, and I was the most unlikely person. I was a drug addict, a heroin addict, and God said, here's a weak person, quite foolish, I'm choosing him. And so that's the way God does. And now, since you've been chosen and you're here and you're listening to this, either you've been chosen or God is about to show you that you were chosen by him, let me tell you that during our lifetime, there are seasons that we need to find strength. There's difficult seasons. So during those difficult seasons of life, we need to find strength. Let me tell you what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians, Paul told this to the same church that he was explaining this inverted way of strength. He tells them, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So here he brings the revelation, not just from people from the Bible, but he brings the revelation to us, to the church, to the people that are listening. And then he brings this inverted thing. When you're weak, you're strong. Now, we will think, no, I'm strong when I'm powerful. That's the way of the world. But in the way of God, it's slightly different. When I am weak, I am strong. Because your struggles always lead to strength. So your struggles, if you're going through a struggle, you can expect something from God. You can expect strength is about to come. I know the message for the evangelists in the last decades of the church is, no, you need power, power, power. Listen, I have Lamborghini power and Maserati power. It's not enough to pull my burdens. To pull my burdens, I need an 18-wheeler type of strength. And that's something that I don't receive from God directly. I need to develop that strength. And this is what I am teaching you today. Now, if I ask you what is stronger, steel or rubber? Steel or rubber? You may tell me, well, steel is probably stronger. Well, depends on the circumstances. And here you see two vehicles that have a continuous track. One is a war tank, and another one is one of those Caterpillar type of tractors. And both do the same thing. One does with steel, another one does with rubber. Do you know why they don't put rubber on the tank? It's just one reason. It's because rubber, if it's targeted by a gun, can be easily destroyed. However, if you want to move land and have real, real strength, rubber is better than steel. And so they can both achieve the same type of strength. So even if you feel, oh, I'm so weak, you know, I have some debilities and I have problems, listen, in God you receive the power and you can show yourself strong. Let me show you the words of Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 33. He said, I have told you these things so that in me, in Jesus, you may have perfect peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. So he's saying, in me, I share that victory with you. So in me, you need to know this. You have trouble. You have distress, suffering, tribulation. Now you be courageous. No, notice what it says here. Be courageous. Be confident. Be undaunted. Be filled with joy. So this is things that he's saying, you do it. You need to be these things. So you need to discipline yourself in order to receive these things. And so when a struggle comes, when a problem comes, there's a circumstance that is causing you weakness. Instead of asking why, try to ask how. How am I going to exit this situation? How am I going to overcome this situation? Listen, I have plenty of experience in being weak because of infirmities that attacked my body. At age 30, I was a traveling evangelist. I was preaching supernatural healing, praying for people. I was never sick. I was super strong. I was Superman. I thought I was indestructible. Until at a certain point, I started to pay the toll of excess activity and my past with drugs and all that, and I started to have some problems. So I could have given up of what I was doing, preaching the gospel. I could give up. But I decided, no, I will not give up until God calls me. And so from my weaknesses, I continued. So I consider myself a strong person. Even if sometimes I don't have the strength to do certain things. Like I enjoyed, you know, doing extreme sports and going up mountains, and I did speleology, which is exploring caves. I would spend a week under the earth, camping under the earth and going several kilometers inside of caves and exploring and, you know, doing like crazy, crazy stuff. I cannot do it now. So there's things that I don't do, but for my regular activities, for what I need to do, even if I feel weak, I say, no, I'm going to do this. I may have a sickness. I may get COVID. I may get anything. And I can say, oh, no, oh, I got COVID. I'm going to stay in bed. No way. No way. I'm going to do my normal life. And as soon as I can walk around, I'm going to walk around. So listen, do not be fooled by this world and by the things of the world. Be strong. In the book of Isaiah, God told Isaiah so many things about strength. In the Old Testament, indeed, all the Old Testament. In Isaiah 40:29, he says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So he doesn't give strength to the powerful. He gives to the weary and the power to the weak. So if you're in weakness, you feel, oh, I feel weak. I feel, you know, learn how to draw strength from God. And listen, problems in our life are not stop signs. You know, if you drive a car or any bicycle, whatever, when you see a stop sign, you know, you stop. But problems are not stop signs. Problems are guidelines, are like the lanes on a road. And so if you have the problems, you need to go on those lanes, but you don't stop. You're not allowed to stop. And think about this. Let me give you this example. A gem or a diamond is formed by friction or by pressure. So pressure and friction are involved in the process. Some of you know that I like big rings. I have small rings and big rings, and I have a few of these big rings. My daughter gave me this one. Thank you. this is a stone. This stone is not common. It's flashy, I know. But the stone is not common, but it's found. And after it's found, has to be polished. Cut and polished by friction. And so that friction is what causes the jewel to exist, a diamond. Same thing, has to be cut, friction, it's polished. Everything that's a jewel, that's precious, is polished. Are you a jewel? I hope you are in God's hands. When someone says, oh, you're precious, they're saying you're a jewel. That means something, that you were under pressure, under friction. And so if this is happening to you and you feel like you're being pressured or polished, I won't say a bad word, but if you feel it, if you feel that you are under this pressure, you know, God is forming you. So you're becoming a gem, something precious. You know, God told something to Joshua, and before he told it to his people, and this expression, you see this expression repeated over, I don't have the verse in Joshua, but it's Joshua 1:8 if you want to take notes. But in Deuteronomy 31:6, God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them, the enemies, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong. Let me tell you, be strong. Be strong. It's not God that says, oh, I make you strong. There's a few instances where he says that he provides strength. But what is repeated through the Bible is that you have to make the decision of being strong. And maybe you find yourself in this situation thinking, oh, but I have this handicap. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. Listen, if God calls you, he will equip you. I try my best to preach the gospel in English. You know, it's not my native language, and sometimes I say something off. It's just, it is what it is, you know. But let me tell you, I speak much better English than a few politicians and prime ministers. I do. I know that I do. And even if I don't have the best of accents, I still can communicate. And I do it, why? Because God called me to do so. You know, the logical thing is that I will be preaching in Brazil. It's the logical thing. And over there, a small church has about 1,000 people. It's not like we have here 40 or 50. They have churches of 1,000 there everywhere. And so the logical thing, it's, go, okay, this guy speaks Portuguese. Let me put him preaching in Brazil. But I had to confront this situation when God told me, more than 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I want you to preach the gospel and to communicate in English. It's not your language. And I did it. And I'm trying to improve. Thank you for your help. If I say something off, please correct me. I do it sometimes. But listen, I'm giving you my example because I'm sure that in your life, you have your weaknesses, your handicaps. Maybe you got a job doing something and you think, I'm not qualified. Listen, just get the job and learn on the job. Just do it. Listen, all jobs are like this. So we need to be strong and courageous. Let me move fast because I want just to come to the conclusion. I don't know if I can talk about everything I have here. This is a Japanese proverb that I really like. Fall 7 times, stand up 8. And you can think, okay, this means that I'm starting fallen. Because, you know, 7, 1, 2, 3, fall, stand, you know. What it really means, this proverb, it's a very common Oriental proverb, is that you need to keep going. Amen. You need to stand. If you fall, you stand. Listen, if you're a Christian and you fell into sin or a temptation, something bad happened, you know, stand up. Amen. Life, it's not over. You know, years ago when I started going to church, it always amazed me that churches will reject divorced people. Say, oh, you're divorced, you cannot do this. Oh, you're divorced, you cannot preach the gospel. Oh, you're divorced. Listen, if you're divorced, you're remarried. God bless you. You did the best thing you could do because something failed, but you decided this time it's going to work. Listen, Jesus met a woman And that woman was not only divorced, but he told her, listen, you had five husbands, and now you're living with a guy, he's not even your husband. And Jesus stopped to talk with that woman. She becomes an evangelist, and she goes to her city. People listen to her. And later on in the book of Acts, we see the results of that woman's, the ministry of that woman that had at least six husbands. I don't know if any of you here, women, had six husbands, even if you had 10, or even if you had 20. You know, just if you fall 20 times, you stand up 21. It's this that I would like to tell you today, because as you do so, you have strength. God is our refuge, a never-present help in times of trouble. Let me conclude with my last point. How can I get this strength? There's different ways, but one of the most common ways in Scripture is to nourish the joy of the Lord. What is this? What is this? The joy of the Lord. Let me tell you about an event that happened with the people of Israel. There's a certain occasion in history that Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jerusalem had, it was a city, a walled city. All those important cities at the time were walled. So they were inside a castle, putting it easy. But it was they were walled. But the walls were destroyed, the doors were destroyed. So it was an open city. And the big city, an open city, it was very dangerous in those days. Today we have so much safety. But in those days, the enemies and the thieves will come. They will kill, rob. They'll do all kinds of things. And so Nehemiah, it's the book that tells us about the rebuilding of the wall. And when they finished rebuilding that wall, Nehemiah said, "Okay, I found here something. It's a book. It's the Bible," because it was forgotten. Like today, we have plenty of people that they know about God, but the Bible is forgotten, it's hidden. And so he said, "Okay, folks, let's celebrate because we finished this wall, and let me read from this book, from the Bible." And so they started reading, and the people were listening, and they were so touched, they started crying. And they said, "Oh no, we've been doing this, we were so wrong." They were crying. And they were mourning, and there was a noise of crying everywhere. And so God tells something through Nehemiah, and he said, "Hey, hold on, do not cry, stop crying. Hey, guys, stop crying." Why? And then he says, Nehemiah 8:10, "This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. So this is a principle. It wasn't just for those folks. It's for us. Why do we sing joyful songs here at church? I mean, there's churches, it's all crying. Have you ever been in one of those churches? It's like a funeral. You know, you enter and the atmosphere is heavy. You feel a heaviness. And people are crying. People are kneeling down. If a child laughs, they come, shh, shh, shh. No children here. Listen, I love when those kids that are in the next room start running here. It's so good to have kids running and jumping, and you know, because they bring joy. They bring joy. So listen. Either it's in church or your personal life, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't know what time it is, but I really wanted to conclude this. I could stop here, but let me go a little bit further. What is the joy of the Lord? What is the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is something that we receive supernaturally, but we need to nourish. You see, Nehemiah had to say, "Hey, folks, do not cry. The joy of the Lord is your strength." Sometimes I'm sad, I'm weak, I'm in situations, I'm discouraged. So I need someone to come to me and say, "Hey, be of good courage." That's why it's great to be married, because we have someone close to us that can tell us, well, if they both, discouraged, then there's a problem. But usually it's one, and there's always someone that says, hey, don't be discouraged, but we need friends. And God says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's not strength. Listen, it's power. It's power. So God's power is made perfect in weakness. So when we're weak, God's power changes circumstances, and then we have this joy of the Lord that will be transformed into strength. Same principle in the Old Testament, Isaiah 61:3. God has given you a crown of beauty for ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. What is a garment of praise? Listen, it's we arrive to church and we start singing and worshiping. By the way, let me give you just a moment of advertisement now. Break, advertisement. If you're in Montreal, South Shore, if you're not as far as I live, over here, there's a new Christian station, 94.7 K-Love. And, it's always the same songs, but if you don't have Spotify, you listen to K-Love. And I try to listen where I live. It blends with others. But here, you listen. It's very strong, the signal. And why would you listen to a Christian station? Because if you're listening to a radio station that is swearing and more, the songs, the lyrics are not pretty. They're not pretty. They're not very encouraging. But if you need the strength of the Lord, you need lyrics that you sing that will encourage you, that will pump you up for victory. So that's the garment of praise. That's the garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. So if you're in desperation, it's time to praise. Because when you praise, you will receive strength. You will receive this crown. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. I finished. I could read you more verses that are appropriate for this message. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So if you have challenges, you need him in your life. And what does Jesus do in your life? What does God do in your life? He strengthens you. And how does he strengthen you? Through his power. But he expects us to have an attitude of praise, an attitude of worship. Finish this with this example. Henry Ford said, when everything seems to be going against you, remember the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. I don't know if we have airplane pilots here. I was one, so this is a rule that I had to learn. But listen, if you go to an airport, you'll see a big airport has different configurations or lanes. And if you took different airplanes there, you will notice that the airplane doesn't take off always from the same place. According to the wind, they will choose which places they will go according to the direction of the wind. And sometimes they can go north-south, sometimes south-north. Depends on the wind. That's why when you go to an airport, you have something hanging that shows the direction of the wind. It's not to show that there is wind. It's to show the direction. So the pilot looks and says, okay, the wind is coming from there, so I need to take off from there. So he has to take off against the wind. Never in favor of the wind, always against the wind. Your life, in this sense, is also like an airplane. Is there opposition in your life? That's great. You're going to fly higher. Is there trouble? Is there something? Is there a handicap? Something happened. Listen, during our lifetime, things can happen. Listen, you can lose a leg or both legs. You can lose your sight. There's things that physically can really put you down and in the position of weakness. But it's when you face those adversities and you face them with the power of God, with the strength of God in your spirit, it's when you will be able to take off. Listen, if things were easy, you will stay at home doing nothing. And one of the problems we're having, I know some of you are listening to the news, and particularly in the United States, in California, there's all these shipments that are coming from Asia with merchandise, and the shipments are staying in the ocean because there's nobody to unload the cargo. And they're trying to manage this, and they told already, they started to say also in Canada, if you want Christmas gifts, buy them now, because next month they will not arrive. I don't know if this is going to be a reality or not, but you know why it's happening? It's because during COVID, the government start to hand out subsidies. And what do you prefer, $2,000 for doing nothing or $2,000 to unload cargo from a ship? You know the answer. And so because of this, the economy, society is struggling. Why? Because if it's easy, if you get a paycheck, if the government gives you money, why work? Here in Montreal, restaurants have a hard time finding people to work in those restaurants. They have a hard time because nobody wants to do minimum wage and depend on tips that may go or not. But if you really need it, you'll get any type of job. And that movement causes you to take up like the airplane. So this is my message of strength. I told you examples. Moses had a staff, David a slingshot, a boy with a lunch fed 5,000 people. Mary had a baby boy that was threatened to be killed by a king, and he ends up being the savior of the world. So see things through the eyes of faith. If you're facing a situation of weakness in your life, listen, the things of faith, they're reversed. When you're weak, you are strong. If you have a challenge, there's a great opportunity for a great victory. I would like to invite you to stand. Usually I apologize when I'm a bit long like I was today, but I was able to cover everything that I need to. I believe this will be of great encouragement for many of you. And so if you feel that you're in weakness, you may say, oh, but Pastor Tony, you're saying that, that's really nice, but I still feel bad. I feel in desperation. I feel that I don't have that strength. I don't have that. Start doing what I told you. Amen. Now go back in this message. It's recorded. You can go also on Spotify, find it there. The audio version, it's recorded. Go there, go back, take note of these Bible verses, start confessing these scriptures, and believe the joy of the Lord is my strength. Just start telling this. Tell God, God, I have no joy. Bring me joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So maybe during those trials, instead of listening to, R&B, whatever type of music that it can be cool, but it's not the garment of praise. Maybe, for a week or so, tune to, I don't like the music on K-Love, so I like my own Christian music, but I choose my own, and I sing in the car. I can go out of key. Nobody cares. God accepts worship out of key. That's amazing. People can say, oh, that's out of key. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because it's not the song you sing. It's the garment of praise. It's you saying, it doesn't matter the circumstances, I will walk with God. And tell God, God, fill me with your power. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and power. And then with that power, apply that power to give you strength in the circumstances where you need it most. So God, I pray for all people here at the Passion Center and all of those watching online. I pray right now, especially for people that are undergoing difficult circumstances. They have handicaps. They have trouble. They're in a situation of great weakness. God, we believe in your word. Your word says that you chose the weak things of the world to confound the strong, because from weakness you want us to become strong, to bring strength from our weakness. Lord, we know that the proud and people that consider themselves really strong, they're many times humbled by you. But when we're humbled, we know that you will lift us up. And I pray that you will lift up your children here. I pray also for people that have hard decisions to make in their lives, and they need the strength in order to face those challenges and make those difficult decisions. I pray for supernatural strength in Jesus' name. And God, we are so grateful for having you in our lives. Without you, God, when we're weak, we're weak. But with you, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. In Jesus' name, amen. So God bless you. During the week, I'm going to talk multiple aspects of strength, and I'm going to give you simple steps on how you can receive that strength. But remember, it's not just God who gives you. There's something you need to do. There's a decision of your mind. There's a decision in faith. And when you make that decision, God will make you stronger. Amen. God bless you. Goodbye to all of those watching online. And for all of you here, I mentioned this at the beginning.